You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. This week I'm speaking to Lloyd Uren from Brenthurst Wealth. And he sent me something that says the following, and it made me sort of sit back a bit because it says how to rejig your finances for a world at war. And I thought to myself, well, I've been taught in the past not to rejig my finances when anything like this happens because it all passes by. So Lloyd is now going to explain why he seems to be flying in the face of conventional wisdom. Lloyd, you say it's hard to ignore what's happening in the Middle East, but that's what we've been taught to do. Forget about these things. Block out the noise. Not this time, according to you.
Well, thanks for having me again, Lindsay. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I think I've maybe used the incorrect word by saying rejig.
Okay.
But it's more a way of thinking about going through a sort of a time of uncertainty that we're going through at the moment. Obviously, not to make the rejigging doesn't refer to making sweeping changes, more to making tiny adjustments based on the current conditions. Again, we have a saying in Afrikaans, bait fuss, ho fuss, which is to hold tight and hunker down a bit. And obviously to just manage the expectations that come with increasing fuel prices and food prices and all of the extra sort of economic conditions that come with that.
I'm not one of those people that wants to ignore these sort of things, by the way, just to nail my colours to the mast, Lloyd, because you have to understand what is going on in the macro environment behind the scenes. And South Africa, as you quite rightly say, feels it twice because, you know, we've been going so well with commodity prices high, the good commodity prices for South Africa, i.e. gold and coal and iron ore and platinum group metals and all that sort of thing. But now we've got it the other way. Those commodities having a bit of a wobble, oil going in the wrong direction, the rand therefore going in the wrong direction as well. And of course, South Africa imports its fuel. So, I mean, it's a double whammy almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Double whammy is probably the perfect way to describe it. And also almost a complete reversion of what we saw last year where the rand strengthened a lot and we saw gold run very, very well and very hard is now kind of turning around a bit and the US dollar is coming back into favor. So, yeah, it is quite a tricky time, especially for South Africa. And obviously with the commodity prices coming down, it affects South Africa's revenues. Essentially the fuel price or the cost of oil going up, the US dollar strengthening against the rand weakening means we're kind of paying extra for the fuel and we have less value to pay for that fuel. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, it gets passed on to the consumer and we feel it at the pumps and we feel it at the shops. So it is quite a difficult time for everyday citizens in South Africa.
And also the everyday citizen has problems, but the Reserve Bank has probably even more problems. The Reserve Bank has a difficult choice. I think as we speak, Lloyd, the CPI inflation rate, consumer price inflation, is hovering around that 3% area. That is before the war hit, and it's not going to stay there. It's probably going to go closer to 4% should the oil price stay around about $90 to $100 a barrel, and the rand continues on its hopefully short-term downward trajectory. So the Reserve Bank has to say, what do we do here? Do we stop cutting rates because we want inflation to stay in check? Do we just wait for 2 or 3 months? It's a juggling act that I wouldn't want to do.
No, absolutely. And it's not a job I would want either. I think as of this morning, I saw that for now, the interest rates are going to be held by the Reserve Bank. So it does mean that we're going to, I think we'll hit closer to our limit on inflation, which is around the 4-5%, which we don't really want to go over. I think the upper limit is 6% that the Reserve Bank tries to maintain not going above. But yeah, I think by that logic or notion, I would assume that they're kind of waiting for things to pass. I think it's quite possible that the Middle East crisis is maybe settling somewhat. I think the US and Iran are coming slowly back to the table. So hopefully it becomes more of a waiting game that we kind of just have to eat the extra cost for a month or two and things can revert back to its prior, more normalized levels. But obviously we don't know what could happen. Obviously Donald Trump's the ultimate wild card to the world economy. So we just have to, yeah, I think they're playing a bit of a waiting game. I think a lot of the world's reserve banks are playing a waiting game to see what happens next. So yeah, it's again, it's similar to sort of a regular person's strategy at the moment, which is to just hold tight and see how things progress and make decisions as we go.
You were very kind when you said Donald Trump is a wild card, because he's much more than that, of course. And when you say he's a wild card, it's out of your control. It's out of all of our control. But there are certain things that you can control. How can we, in the short term, without rejigging too much, and as you said in your introduction, the rejig was maybe the wrong word, but we can be aware of what is going on and make little tweaks here and there. So how do we do it? How, when we've got these oil prices high and it's costing us 20% more to fill up our car if we're lucky enough to have a car. What do we do, Lloyd? You're the man to tell us. You're the personal finance man.
Well, firstly, then I'll speak to sort of your discretionary spending. Obviously, we know that most households' primary costs come in the form of fuel for cars, get us to and from work and wherever we need to go, and as well as food prices. Obviously, the fuel price is inherently a factor in both of those things. So those are the two expenses that we can expect to go up and will go up. So it means we have to be very aware of our budgets, and we may have to reduce spending in other areas of interest. We might have to have a little bit less enjoyment over the next month or two so that we can continue to cover those costs of fuel and food that we need that are important for it. Those ultimately drive to continue the economy functioning. We all have to kind of play our part in that regard. So from a discretionary spending point of view, we kind of just have to be aware of our budgets and reduce things where reduce non-necessary expenses where we can. From an investment point of view, we often see big rebounds in the stock markets after these sorts of crises. Obviously, it's not very nice at the moment looking at any chart and everything just seems to be going down. But again, the important part there is to not lock in your losses by disinvesting, by panicking and moving out of your positions, because A, that's going to guarantee that you are losing money and losing wealth in your portfolio, but also it doesn't allow you the opportunity to re-earn that value and beyond when the markets invariably start going on a bull run, as they typically do after this sort of crisis.
One thing I like about these world wars, and if there is anything to like, it's this. It makes you sit back and say, okay, what's wrong with my portfolio? Is it buffered enough for these sort of events? And I've spoken to you and I've spoken to your colleagues over the years, and the emergency fund has always been something that should be part of anyone's portfolio. In other words, something that's there for the unexpected. This is unexpected. So if you do want to keep up your spending patterns, you can dip into that emergency fund. That's the sort of thing that I quite like about these events, because they give you a bit of a shake, don't they?
They do. And again, emergency funds are, I think it's the first thing that anyone in the financial advisory space will tell you to get in order before you start investing money or any that sort of thing. So getting your budget in order, getting your emergency fund in order, it prevents you from having to take on extra debt, and such as credit card debt or short-term loans, which again, as part of the rejigging of your finances, this would not be the time to be sort of taking out new debt or new loans or any extra lines of credit. I would rather you dip into your emergency savings. That's what they're there for. And when things normalize, you can always top that up again to where it needs to be. But it is, as you say, it's a very good test of your financial resilience, these sort of events, as uncomfortable as they are. I think it drives our emotions more than our rationality. So obviously the panic mode tells us take everything out, be as safe as possible. But I think there's an old adage that when things are uncertain and you don't know what to do, do nothing.
I love doing nothing. You say in your sort of summary paragraph, you say right at the end, you say, in times of global conflict, the most valuable quality isn't speed or boldness. It's resilience, and resilience starts with preparation. So maybe sum up what we've said over the last few minutes, if you would. And I think start with don't panic. Don't listen to too many podcasts. Don't watch too much television. Don't listen to too many radio shows and get all caught up in it. Is that step one? Blot it out a little bit?
To an extent, I'd say block it out. I'd say block out the noise and always look one layer deeper to what the news is telling you. Obviously, I think with any sort of shock, news will sensationalize what is going on. But if we kind of look a little bit deeper, we realize what they're saying means. Okay, there's a crisis in the Middle East. What this means is oil prices are probably going to go up. That means extra cost on fuel, extra cost on food. What do we need to do that will make sure we don't either have to take out more loans or lines of credit? What will keep our long-term financial health as healthy as possible? And that would be, I'd say, first step in these sorts of times.
Lloyd, thanks so much for your wisdom. Lloyd Urin is a financial advisor at Brenthurst Wealth in Granger Bay in Cape Town. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.